God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so very much, Pastor Rob. I appreciate it so much. Many years ago, before I went to Gethsemane Baptist Church, I was doing some conferences, and I'll never forget that normally the last service of the conference, the pastor would say something like, "Now, Brother Rick is going to come and preach his last message, so y'all pray for him now. This will be his last message." And I always got a little eerie feeling saying, "I hope he doesn't know something I don't know. You know, my last message. I hope I get to preach another one sometime." But it's been an absolute thrill and a privilege to be able to come back for so many years and to see so many faithful people still continuing in the battle for worldwide evangelization. And I want to say with all of my heart, I praise God for you. And I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And we're going to turn to the scriptures this morning, to Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to speak to you this morning just on the premise of the Great Commission. It's something that we know, and it's something that we are seeking to obey, but I want a restatement of it because it is something that should be ingrained in every believer, because you see, this is indeed our Lord's last command. The last command. And it should always remain our first concern. So let's read the scripture and then I'll make some comments. Notice the Bible records for us in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." The command to go has never been rescinded. The command to go has been restated over and over and over and over. It's been preached. But only in churches where it becomes an emphasis, where it becomes the watchword of attitudes, is there really a going that will fulfill the Great Commission. If you notice, the commission comes in three stages. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." That means to make disciples of all people, of all ethnic groups, of everyone everywhere. I think the Brother Nix that stated it when he said, "Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight." And so true this is, that the Lord Jesus wants everybody saved. He wants all to come to repentance and to an acknowledging of the truth. And so before I go any farther, I don't want to be remiss, because I want to not just preach this morning from the Bible, but I want to give you the gospel this morning. The Bible is very plain that all of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God, according to Romans and chapter 3. The Bible informs us of how that came to be, because by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, Romans 5 and 12. And for us to understand that is helping us down the road to recognizing that we have a need. You see, all of us, because of sin, have been separated from God. And we have need of being reconciled to God. The word reconciled means to bring back together that which has been estranged. And, you know, especially in America, where we have so much churchianity, we hear statements like, "Well, I've always been a Christian," or "I was raised in a Christian home." Or I want to encourage you to know this, that being raised in a Christian home will not make you a Christian any more than sleeping overnight in the garage will make you an automobile. You become a Christian by choice, not by chance. And so we are all sinners. We have all a need to be reconciled to God. And God has made this possible by the sending of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bear upon Himself, to take upon Himself our sins in His body, to be crucified and condemned for those sins, to be buried and to raise again the third day. And now God has said, if we'll call upon His name, having called upon Him, recognizing He died, was buried, and rose again, that we can be saved. So if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your very own personal Savior, that's first and foremost what it is about. That is the gospel, that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 1 through 4. And so if you're not saved this morning, I beseech you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God by admitting in your heart that you are a sinner, by recognizing that you cannot save yourself, by realizing that no works of any kind could ever reconcile you to God, and then by acknowledging that Jesus Christ has died, was buried, and rose again, and then just accepting Him as your very own personal Savior by calling upon His name, you can be saved. The moment you do that in faith, believing, the Holy Spirit of God, according to Ephesians chapter 4, will take up residency in your heart. He'll be the seal of all that He demands. And when He comes for us in the rapture, you'll go with Him because you have now been born again of the Spirit of God. So I beseech you to trust Christ. Now, having done that, you now fall in line to be those who have to be aware of and to be involved in the Great Commission. I like what an old evangelist said years ago, God didn't save us to sit, He saved us to get up and get. And that's exactly what the Lord wants when He tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, to see them identified with Christ through the waters of believers' baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3:21 tells us, "For the like figure whereunto baptism does now save us." The Church of Christ missed that point when they say that, see, it says baptism saves us. No, it says the like figure. What baptism is like saves us, not the baptism itself. Baptism is like a figure, a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and that's what saves us. And when we are baptized, we are making that picture, and we are reaffirming visually what we have accepted internally and spiritually, that Christ's death, burial, and resurrection has saved us. And then He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You know, that's teaching them to assemble together in a local church, teaching them to obey the doctrines, the precepts, the statutes, and the commands of God. This is the whole emphasis and the whole basis of the Great Commission. But there are some things about the Great Commission that we have to get settled if we're actually going to be involved in it. Many, many years ago, the family is not at Gethsemane any longer, but in our third missions conference, since I was the pastor there, I had a gentleman come out of the back of the sanctuary, and he said, "Well, Pastor," he said, I don't know if you know this," he said, "but I'm not really for this worldwide missions." And I said, "Well, how would I know that? By the way, did you know if you're sitting out there this morning, you don't have written on your forehead, 'I'm not for worldwide missions'? I wouldn't know that unless you told me." And I said, "Well, really?" He said, "Yeah, that's right." He said, "I think we ought to do all our work right here at home." And I said, "Well, brother, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion." I said, "This is America. Everybody has a right to be wrong if they want to be." And then I said, "But as long as I'm the pastor of Gethsemane Baptist Church, we are going to have a worldwide visionary mission emphasis." He said, oh, that's okay." I said, "Well, I know it's okay. I wasn't asking your permission. And I'm not being mean, but there's some folks think like that." So I'm going to ask some questions this morning about the Great Commission, and I want you to affirm the answer, and that's going to be the basis of what I want to deal with this morning. I want to ask you, first of all, there are three important questions concerning the Great Commission. They must be asked, and they must be answered if we're going to begin an involvement, if you haven't already, or to continue your involvement. Because let me tell you, this is one of the greatest endeavors that this church is going to embark upon. It's one of the greatest commitments that you're going to embark upon, because there are missionary ministries that are depending upon your faith and your faithfulness so that they can go to the ends of the earth. And so, first of all, I want to ask you this simple question. Is the Great Commission transferable? Is the Great Commission transferable? Now, I want you to think on that just for a moment. You see, first of all, the Great Commission was given to the original apostles. And I've had somebody say to me over the years, "Well, I don't know if that's our job and task. I mean, that was given to the original apostles." But I'm going to ask you the question, do you believe the Great Commission is transferable? Do you believe that it's been transferred from then in its original commission down to us? What is the answer to that? You can say it out loud. You can't really get this one wrong unless you were sleeping all week. All right? The answer is yes, the Great Commission is transferable. In other words, I have received the Great Commission. I actually received the Great Commission on January the 6th, 1974, when I called upon the name of the Lord and I became a believer. When I was born again to the Spirit of God, the Great Commission then became transferable to me. Because just as it was given to the original apostles, it is transferred to all the other disciples who should follow thereafter. So nobody is exempt from the Great Commission. So is the Great Commission transferable? Is it your commission now? Is it your responsibility and my responsibility to help get the gospel around the community and to the ends of the earth? The answer to that is yes, isn't it? And so the Great Commission certainly is transferable. By the way, it's transferable individually. From the very first Christians to every Christian thereafter, it becomes a mandate from our Lord and Savior. The Great Commission, to go ye therefore to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So each of us must certainly be involved in the Great Commission, because it is indeed transferable. Now, I know some may think, well, Pastor, that's so academic, and we've heard that and we know that. Well, you know, there's some new people. There's some people, I don't know what kind of church background you may have come from or what kind of church you were in, because I want to tell you right now, the Great Commission is not the great emphasis in many, many churches. Building bigger playgrounds is. Building bowling alleys. And building this and building this. But the Great Commission is not always the great emphasis, because there are some people who either do not know or do not accept that the Great Commission has been transferred to us. It is our responsibility, it is our job, it is our task to get the gospel out around the world. My old pastor, Dr. Earl White, who pastored Shady Grove Baptist Church in Bossier City, Louisiana for years and years, is right now in a rehab. He was in the VA hospital for a little while. He's now in the rehab, and the Lord willing, Thursday morning, we're going to be making a trip up to Shreveport to see him. He taught me many, many, many things in my younger years of ministry, but he taught me two things that I will always be eternally grateful for. And they became ingrained in my heart as a very young preacher. And they were these. He taught me a deep and abiding love for the Word of God, because the Word of God will still do the work of God. And then he taught me a deep and abiding love for the world, that God loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And I've never lost that love, and I've never lost that understanding, because very early in my Christian life, I found out that the Great Commission was transferable, and it became my responsibility as an individual believer to do my very best to get the gospel around the world. But it not only was transferable individually from the original Christians, the very first Christians, to all the other Christians, and that would mean us, but it's also transferable institutionally. Institutionally. You see, the church at Jerusalem received that commission to take the gospel around the world to the ends of the earth. But the church at Jerusalem, that original church, to my understanding, is no longer in existence. But the commission didn't die out with that church, or it didn't go out of commission because that church is out of commission. It is transferable not only individually, but it's transferable institutionally. Beckwith Baptist Church, on the very day that this church was constituted, whether they fully realized it at that moment or not, became responsible for the Great Commission to get the gospel around the world. And I've known three pastors of Beckwith Baptist Church: Pastor Lyndon Longoria, Pastor Tom Stuckey, and now Pastor Rob Fleshman. And I am absolutely convinced to the depths of my soul that all three of them believe that to the depths of their soul. That they not only have an individual responsibility to get the gospel out, and your pastor demonstrated that to me because we went out Saturday morning and knocked on some doors, amen, to get the gospel out in the community. And I'll tell you one thing, though. He don't like snakes. He don't like snakes. We saw one, didn't we, Brother Rob? It was about this long, about that big around, and I believed he jumped about this high. No, I'm just, you know, I said, I believe that's a garden snake. He said, I don't care what kind of snake it is, it's a snake. But you know what? He didn't let that stop him from knocking on another door. Just kept on going, because he accepts it individually. And as the pastor of the Beckwith Baptist Church, he understands and he has accepted that this congregation, this institution of the Beckwith Baptist Church, has been a recipient of the Great Commission because it's transferable to him. And that's why he's agreeable to have a missions conference. That's why he's agreeable to have you come on a Wednesday night and a Thursday night and a Friday night and a Saturday night banquet and a Sunday morning to hear the preaching and to be challenged and be encouraged to keep on involved, because this Great Commission is transferable. We accept that. We understand that. We know that. And that's why we're here this morning in the last service of this conference, to bear testimony to the fact that we know the commission has been transferred to us. And by the way, to every other, not the, just the first church, but to every other church that names the name of Jesus Christ in salvation and is going to be obedient to the commands of our Lord and Savior. And so the Great Commission is transferable. Then I want to ask you another question. And this one, I believe this one begs being answered as well. Not only is the Great Commission transferable, but I want to ask you secondly, is the Great Commission fulfillable? Is it doable? Is it doable in the age in which we live? I mean, you know, this is modern society, and you know, this is the modern cultures, and you know, people are different and all, and you know, I don't know if we ought to be doing all of this. Is the Great Commission still fulfillable? Are the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ still applicable, and are they still doable? I answer a resounding yes, they certainly are. It certainly is. It's still doable. You see, it's possible individually. I wonder how long has it been since you personally talked to somebody about faith in Christ? You've already admitted that commission has been transferable to you. You see, we can't keep all of our evangelism in just the missionaries that we support. We can't keep all of our evangelism in just the pastor that you've called, and he certainly accepts that responsibility and fulfills it. And I've heard that there are many that they're going out, but that's because the Great Commission is fulfillable. Do you know that I don't do anything that I don't believe is going to work? If I'm not convinced something will work, I don't put any effort into it, I don't put any emphasis on it, and I don't give it one iota of my time. I just don't. But because I believe the Great Commission is fulfillable, it's doable, it becomes a primary emphasis in life, and it becomes a part of life. It becomes what we do. If you haven't done, you need to start handing out some tracts. You need to start being evangelistic yourself. All of us have to have that challenge renewed over and over. I have that challenge myself. You want one of the things that I've discovered recently, you know, society has changed. You want to know one of the ways I've been able to give people tracts, and I've never had anyone not take it, Brother Rob, and they almost stop and read it every time? I love parking lots. Walmart, grocery stores, Sam's, BJ's, you know, I love parking lots. I look around for ladies, senior ladies, and especially ladies with kids. And I walk over with my track, and I just step there for a moment. I said, excuse me, I said, could I make you a good deal today? I said, I'd like to give you this track, this gospel track, and invite you to our services. And I said, and I'd like to take that cart back for you. And they almost always go, well, thank you. By the way, how many of you ever pulled into a parking lot at Walmart or somewhere and somebody left a cart in the thing? And what's the first thing you said? Yeah, they're a lazy bunch. Wait a minute. Do you honestly expect a lady with three little kids that she's just strapped in a minivan to walk that cart 75 yards or feet back down there? Of course they're going to leave it there. Look around. It's an opportunity. By the way, you know, you not only have to take opportunities to witness and to be a blessing, but you can make some opportunities too, because this commission is transferable and it is doable. It's doable individually. You see, the day of Pentecost is come and gone. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, God made sure that we received the two things most necessary for fulfilling the Great Commission. He gave us His indwelling presence and His enabling power. His indwelling presence and His enabling power. Now, excuse me, this may come as a shock to you, because you may think I'm Mr. Gregarious, and you all know that I can talk, all right? But did you know I still get nervous when I talk to people? You know, it's still a little apprehensive when we talk to people. I don't know what's going to happen at that door any more than anybody else does. I don't know what's going to happen when I hand somebody a tract. I don't know what's going to happen in a restaurant. Of course, you know, they usually love taking my tracts in a restaurant because I put a tip inside it, you know. And that's another thing, believers. Don't be any cheap tippers. Don't give anybody a gospel tract with a dollar in it. My goodness, I'd be embarrassed to get that thing. You leave a good tip. Let them know that God's blessing your life and that you want to be a blessing to them. You know, some of those little gals in these restaurants and all, you know, they make about, what is it, $2.48 an hour, and the rest is tips. Boy, I'll tell you what, I sure hate to have to live on what Christians give normally. It'd be tough. But the point I'm making is the Great Commission is doable, but we have to do it. But God has given us His enabling presence, and He's given us His enabling power. And then He's made a further promise, "Lo, I'll be with you always unto the ends of the earth." I remember reading a little story about a little boy that was out knocking on doors, and he's just a little guy, and a guy answered the door, and he said, "Hi, mister." He said, "I'm just out inviting people to our church." He said, "You got any kids? I'd like to invite them to our Sunday school." And he said, "Son, you're just a little guy." He said, "Aren't you afraid to be out here by yourself?" He said, "Oh, I'm not by myself." He said, "The Lord and I are out here together." He said, "I'm not afraid." Now, I don't advocate that in today's society, but you understand the emphasis I'm making. "And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So the Great Commission is fulfillable. It's fulfillable individually if we'll just do it. Acts chapter 1:8, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." You remember what happened in Acts chapter 4 when they began to be persecuted? What did they pray? They didn't say, "Oh, Lord, help CLA to come down here and get me out of trouble." No, they said, "Lord, grant thy servants boldness that we might preach thy word." Because they had God's enabling power and His indwelling presence. You can do it. God can use you. You can do it. And then the next thing, each of us can help fulfill the Great Commission by, first of all, being a witness right here in person. I call that personal evangelism, and it requires our going. But we can also be a witness everywhere by proxy. I call that financial evangelism, and it requires our giving. I can't go to Washington State. I mean, I guess I could fly up there, but I know I can't fly up there and go out on visitation all the time. I can't fly up there and be a witness like the brother who's going to go there to live, to start a church, Ken. But I know what I can do. I can help by proxy those that go. I may not be able to do that personally. Now, I have to do personally what I need to do where I am. But by proxy, I can help send the gospel all over the world. I heard a little story about a mother who was praying, and her daughter knocked on the door and was real persistent with her knock. And she opened the door, and her mother had prayer cards from missionaries all up on her walls. And she said to her daughter, she said, "Darling, please don't disturb mommy while I'm in China. Don't disturb mommy while I'm in China." Lisa and I spent the night with a dear lady many, many years ago in Houston, Texas. She had just a little trailer. And we were told that she loved missionaries. She wanted us to come over, and she's such a blessing. And she had a little room in her trailer, and it was just wallpapered with missionary prayer cards, Brother Rob. And she knew every one of them. And she prayed for every one of them. You know why? Because she was traveling by proxy in prayer and in financial giving to be in those places. And do you know one day you'll see the fruits of those labors? You might not see them here. Now, some of our church planters do write back and we hear about what's happening, but we won't always see everything that's happened. But we can go individually in person, and we can go everywhere by proxy. So the Great Commission is fulfillable. It's fulfillable individually, and it's fulfillable institutionally. I'm looking here in my Bible, and I carry a list of all the missionaries that we support. We support 52 ministries at $75 a month. If you pan that out, that's about exactly what y'all are doing. I think we're sending out about $3,900 a month. I don't know what your total output is. What is it, about 33 ministries, you said? What is that total out to, about 38-something or... 3,900 a month. That's amazing. That's exactly what we're sending out, $3,900 a month. $3,900 a month. Huh. Looks like Yosemite Baptist Church believes the Great Commission is transferable. Looks like they believe it's doable, it's fulfillable. Kind of looks like Beckwith does too, doesn't it? Amen? And so this is our responsibility. So it is doable. It is fulfillable. We can get the job done. Let's just do our best to stay in tune with the Lord. Please remember that the very reason we are having the missions conference is to decide how much we should be involved individually. And the answer to that will determine how much you could be involved institutionally, cooperatively. And we desire to continue to support those who labor in our harvest field and take on more as God allows. You do realize that the field is the world, but the field is our field. It belongs to the local church. It's our responsibility. And so the Great Commission is transferable, and the Great Commission is fulfillable. And then I have one last question. Is the Great Commission avoidable? I'm sad to say that gets the same answer as the first two. It is avoidable, isn't it? The Great Commission is unavoidable. It's avoidable individually. You can make a decision this morning not to be involved or not to continue to be involved. You can make that decision. Nobody's going to come to you and say anything to you about it because mostly they're not going to know. But even if I did know that somebody wasn't giving to missions in our church, I don't make a big deal about it. I just figure this way. If they don't want to be blessed and they don't want to be a blessing, I can't make anybody do anything they don't want to do. I had somebody ask me years ago, said, Pastor, do you believe you ought to tithe off your gross income or off your net income? I said, what do you want, a gross blessing or a net blessing? I want the gross blessing. I want to trust God for the gross. But the point is simply this. The Great Commission, sadly, is also avoidable. Yes, it's transferable. Yes, it's fulfillable. But sadly, it is avoidable. And that's the decision that you have to make in finality this morning, is whether you're going to do something about what you believe you have a responsibility to do something about. So yes, it is avoidable individually. You can say, I won't be involved, and then just don't be involved. But you can also say, I will be involved, and indeed be involved. And it is avoidable institutionally. It's avoidable institutionally. There are many, many churches across this land. Statistics show it, that are not doing anything much, if anything at all, for worldwide evangelization. They're so into making the saints more comfortable, making programs more available, and I'm not opposed to any of that. We have a nice sanctuary. We have things that we do for the saints of God, but I would never want to do that just to make us more comfortable so that we will not get the gospel out around the world. And so the Great Commission is avoidable, but I pray while we know that is true, I pray that we'll never let it be true individually, and we'll never let it be true institutionally, because we still have God's go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, while I say that the Great Commission is avoidable, I do want to put another thought with that. We can avoid the Great Commission, but we cannot avoid our accountability for ever having done so. We can avoid the Great Commission. We can avoid it individually. Churches can avoid it cooperatively and institutionally, but they will never be able to avoid their accountability to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for ever having done so. I've heard your pastor say a number of times this week about, we want to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant, when our Lord comes. Every believer under the sound of my voice should be working for that WD degree. You may not have ever been to college. You may not have ever done any other kind of certificate or diploma or whatever, but every believer ought to desire with all of their heart to receive that WD degree when we stand before the Lord at the Bema seat. And that's that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that will only happen when we believe and we accept that the commission is transferable, when we understand that it is indeed fulfillable, it's doable, and we recognize that we can make a choice not to do it, to avoid it, but we'd rather make a choice to do it. In just a few moments, your pastor is going to come, and again, as you normally do, you're going to see what the Lord is going to allow you to do this next year for worldwide evangelization. And I'm going to give you one other word of caution before I finish this morning. Whatever Beckwith Baptist Church commits to do it together for the glory of God. Whatever it is, this is not this is, what will you have me to do, Lord? And as long as you individually know that you have done in a faith promise commitment, if you're making one, that I'm doing exactly what I believe the Lord has asked of me, you have nothing to be ashamed about, nothing to be down about, just to say hallelujah and praise the Lord. And that's how we do it where I pastor, and I believe that's how your pastor would do it. Sure, everybody would like to say, oh man, we'd like to see this thing go this and this. Just do the will of God, because that's all you're responsible to do. With that thought in mind, would you stand together with me, please? The Great Commission is transferable. We accept that, Lord. The Great Commission is fulfillable. We understand that, Lord, because we have your abiding presence. We have your great power. We have your great authority to do what you've asked of us to do. And Lord, we know the Great Commission is avoidable, but we don't want to be anybody or among those who would ever avoid our responsibility to send the light, the blessed gospel light. May we all be found this week to be carefully observing the Great Commission and faithfully obeying the Great Commission. Jesus is coming again soon. Let's do our very best to do His will. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning again for these people. I thank you, Lord, for their presence here today, their attendance, and also their attentiveness. And I thank you for the many, Lord, who have been involved all of these years and continue to do so. And I pray that you'll bless them. You'll increase their faith and bless their lives. And for those who are maybe here today and this will be the first time they'll be involved, I pray, Lord, that you'll bless them. They're embarking upon an adventure in giving that others might go that will absolutely bless their lives. In all things, I pray that you'll be glorified today. And we're going to leave the results with you and praise you for them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.